Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Russian hackers attacked U.S. aviation as part of breaches. Security officials say Russian hackers could shut down nuclear power plants and electric facilities in America. The U.S. has accused Russia of launching cyber attacks that allow the Kremlin remote access into American nuclear power plants, water facilities, and other critical infrastructure, according to a recent report by the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI. Joining me on the line is Michael Dougherty, a director of the National Cybersecurity Society and a board member of NetShield Corporation, the global leader in affordable breach prevention. Michael, should we be, first of all, good afternoon to you. Good morning to you.
Hello. Good day. How are you? We'll use the Latin. Good day.
We'll use good day. Should we be worried? Is it true that the Russians, the Reds, are not only under our beds, but they have their fingers on our nuclear triggers?
Well, we should always be worried. The timing of this announcement is a bit suspect to me because I believe, while accurate and not really a falsehood completely, there's some taffy pulling involved in what the definition is. And the timing is suspect because I think Trump is really trying to show the world that he is not, you know, in bed or obligated or attached in any way to the Russians, and he's going to go after them. So, you know, they've been doing this for ages. Is the sky about to fall? No. Is it something to be concerned about? Of course. It's much more likely they're just trying to steal information and learn about everything they can about us, because whoever throws the first punch would get one heavy second punch in return, and I think Russia is quite aware of that.
I mean, what sort of level of penetration of these facilities are we talking about? Are we talking about all the way through to literally being able to shut down and turn on nuclear reactors, water for supplies, as and when they want to?
No, I don't think so, honestly. I think that what it is because everyone wants to hear that cybersecurity is such a dramatic sort of black and white situation, but actually it's really death by a thousand cuts. It is learning. It is sending in a malware, spyware, backdooring, learning information, learning how things change. And you know, the infrastructure of a country as broad as the United States is not so simple that way. There's many different power grids. There's many different sections. There's many different safety nets. So you can't just go in and just knock the whole thing out like that. But there still obviously is vulnerability. That, you know, this is the catch about how the wording of announcements are positioned, you know, and they're meant to sort of create that type of anxiety. But if you read the words literally, they can also not be dishonest and say, we didn't say that. and this is one of, you know, you have to have like a dictionary when dealing with political announcements.
I mean, you said that just a minute ago, this is very much a death by a thousand cuts. When we are told there has been a cyber attack, we kind of think, being layman, that this is somewhat like our computer freezing. You know, we have to reboot the whole system, the malware goes into overdrive. It's much more subtle than this, then. It's not like having, you know, an electronic version of a rampaging bull coming through your front door.
That's exactly right. And, you know, and the thing that actually makes things a little bit more desperate, it's usually on human error. We think that it's some fantastic technological achievement tool that they have on the other side that we don't know about. And really, it's about relentlessly attempting to get somebody somewhere to make a mistake and click on something so some malware can get installed or something like that. And, you know, it only takes the weakest link, and it only takes one. So they can have some artificial intelligence or some automatic sort of pilot type of relentless pinging going on, and it takes one person to go, oh, okay. And that's tough, to be really blunt. You know, we're only strong as our smartest person. or our dumbest person, I mean. And so that's how a lot of these, I mean, that's how the State Department of America got breached, you know. It's human error is the big problem here.
So although we may say, oh, it's the, you know, it is this, the cyber attack, is actually the, it's a combination of factors, and it is more insidious, if you like, than just going straight in and going kapow and knocking out somebody's system, and suddenly we can't get all our bits and pieces we need to online.
Correct. You know, it's information gathering, it's execution, it's spying, it's that type of thing. I mean, it's an entire sort of coordinated, almost culture. It's just espionage. And espionage has been going on in both directions for all the countries for decades and decades. I mean, the thing is, it's just so much faster now. Mm. And so now it's becoming automated, and things turn on a dime, and the stakes get higher. And that's where the rush is to defend ourselves from that. Because the world has become addicted to technology. And what the world didn't know, because it's still early, is that we were terrible at security when the very beginning. That our software all over the world is built without really considering security. So we've left all these doors open, and yet we've unified all our data in these one spot, not in our homes, within our governments, within our military, within our financial, within our medical. And so it's almost like, you know, we've left it vulnerable, and then we've gathered it all up for someone to go, hey, you know, have good on you, go. And that's the problem.
I mean, I suppose if you were saying, well, you know, the geniuses who built these systems, well, you were using them as a, this is the two ways of thinking about this, Mike, and you can come back and shoot me down on this, but why don't they say, well, the geniuses who were doing this were doing it, were getting into cyberspace as a force for good, and therefore they didn't think that anybody was ever going to abuse this. And the second way is, well, you know, the Americans with the culture, and, you know, they would never look at doing something as underhand, because probably they see the whole cyber thing as some sort of dark web, underhand, sneaky, which perhaps, using stereotypes here, perhaps the Russians with their culture of intelligence, and I mean gathering of, would be much more attuned to.
You know, I think it's a human condition, and there's crooks everywhere. And the thing, the strength of the U.S. is sort of their free enterprise and high-end you know, creativity in the software, and then in any industry, anywhere, anyhow, early on, you don't know what you don't know. And who knew that everyone would just fall in love with this so fast? Who knew it would transform everything? I mean, you just can't see in the future like that. And so now everything that gets invented, maybe the 10th version makes the first version look almost laughable. And I think that's the truth. I think in 50, 60 years, we'll look back on this and go, oh, you know, oh, we just missed that one. I think in the whole world is participating in this. So, but yet, you know, I think Israel has done a phenomenal job of taking the strengths of their country and working very closely with the care and feeding of Internet startups for security purposes, because who has more practice in self-defense than Israel? And this is, other countries can learn from this, that just governments tend to be very autocratic, not creative. I'm talking Western culture here. You know, I'm not talking about Russia or China. And they're not inventive. And those are not cultures for innovation. And we have to do a much better job of, in all countries, you need to do a better job of working with their brains of technological innovation. And I don't mean the CEOs of the companies, you know, and developing these people to be more proactive in developing these defenses. Because I don't think it's going to suddenly be that we've decided and learned how to stop human error. We're going to have a technological solution. We'll never stop human error.
Isn't the danger, though, that in the current political situation and the climate that we have at the moment, that it's, you know, there have already been moves made by the White House to close down social media networks and have more overseeing of that? Isn't there going to be a possibility that, you know, they say, right then, a populist move to shut down those evil hackers, those evil eggheads operating behind the scenes on the internet, and suddenly we have autocratic rulings on the internet in Western cultures?
Well, I think ICON is the controls, a lot of the access has moved to more global control, which gives more power to countries that want to control internet access and assignment of domains. I don't necessarily think it's the Trump administration, because Obama was quite into that, and I think that any type of control. What people want is not suppression of one thought over here. That's the big fight. And yet Facebook is in huge trouble because, I mean, boy, but this week Zuckerberg's finally come out about what's going on with them. And you know, he's really ticked off the left because it turns out that, you know, the Trump campaign was using basically screen scraping. They've moved the story from hacking and breaching. So now they've talked to data mining and harvesting, which is not illegal. And other political opposite political entities have done the exact same thing. So I don't know. There's a lot of misinformation about the power that Google and Facebook and Twitter have and how they use it. And what's going on in the world, I think, is a bigger picture that we were taught initially, and maybe it's our fault for believing it, that the usage of all these tools from private companies was free, whereas now we realize, well, it's almost like we have a wireless microchip. It isn't. We don't give them money, but we give them all this information about us so they can package us and sell us and make a fortune off it. And that's almost okay, except then when they bring their own political decision into what they're going to do with it and how they're going to represent you, that's where we cross the line. I think that should concern everyone.
It's a thing, isn't it? Because everybody thought the internet was just a nice place to put pictures of your holidays and perhaps some cute kittens and some funny jokes. And suddenly it's become this, hang on a second, they were reaping my information. You know, we really don't like this. And it's gone from being, you know, social media from this, like, this relatively harmless hobby like ham radio. And suddenly everybody is coming down, as we say over here, like a ton of bricks on them.
That's exactly right. And it's interesting, you make me chuckle, because when I put some sort of political post up about this, I might get, you know, 20 likes. And I put my golden retriever, which I got from London, on the web, I get 100 likes. So people still want to play and they don't want to deal, but, you know, people are waking up. And especially when it's going to get broader with the Internet of Things. I mean, Germany, you know, banned a doll last year. I mean, as soon as people realize some of their children's dolls can track where their kid is, again, it's not, most people are fine. Just takes one nutbag. So it only takes one person that wants to abuse that toy and learn where your child is. And so this is, at some point, you wonder when people are going to wake up, because the marketplace will force a change, because nothing else really can. I think this is so far down the road. We are just utterly addicted in these things. I mean, I was just in Boston. I go to the hotel. There's a young people's crowd there for some event. They're all sitting in the lobby. There's about 16 of them. They're all looking at their phone. No one's speaking to each other.
Absolutely. Same thing. Was walking through Malaga. Just came back from the Picasso Museum yesterday. There's a long line of kids outside there. Same thing. You know, there's a Picasso Museum. They're surrounded by culture and history. What are they doing? Looking at their screens.
Yeah, it's just like, and you wonder, I mean, oh my gosh, it reminds me of Pink Floyd's The Wall, because everyone's being indoctrinated the same way, the brain's being wired the same way, they're not getting the social interaction skills, they're not getting empathy. I just shudder. Yeah, I'm like, this is not, no. This is not okay.
Mike, you've spent a long part of the last decade defending your company against charges that had deficient cybersecurity practices. You know of which you speak, and you've got down and dirty in the dirt with some pretty big agencies and come out, you know, smelling of roses. You've won your cases. You've proved that you weren't deficient. Your companies weren't deficient. So you have a better grounding in this than perhaps most people do. What do you see then?
Unfortunately.
What do you see happening then over the next 12, 24 months?
Oh, I think more of the same. I think people are making so much money off this. People are so enjoying it. People, you know, the truth is, I think the human condition is no one really gets involved until it hits them personally. You know, I mean, one of the reasons I think everyone ignored politics in the States, right? And then suddenly, boom, we have Trump as president. Well, everyone ignored Obamacare until their premiums went up, you know, 500%. And everything went back. And suddenly, themselves personally. So when this starts really getting into people's personal daily lives, so it smacks them in the face, like, I don't know, a government takes over their smartphone, you know, and renders it unusable or something, you know, unfortunately, I think people don't really pay attention until they have personal experience in their own world. And then suddenly, when you mess with people's technology, especially, they're going to get quite short-tempered. So Yeah, I don't see much change coming up, sadly.
And would it be fair then to say that because we can no longer send tanks across borders and fight the Cold War per se in physical terms, perhaps the cyberspace and cybersecurity and what our leaders want us to believe, perhaps, is that the cyberspace is the new Cold War battleground?
Oh, absolutely. And and just to go on that analogy, which I think is spot on, the issue I have with the governments, and I mean all of them, is that it's like, let's pretend they flew their tanker into a war zone and landed and the back opened up. And instead of soldiers running out, we have lawyers running out who are terrible defending us. That's the other reason, because these governments are chock full of attorneys with no tech background just enforcing rules. So, and GDPR right now is going to be the big mallet. Everyone's going to watch this not work. They'll beat everybody up. They'll charge the heck out of them. Everyone will go, yeah, go get them. Go. Nothing's going to get better because this is like a disease. It's no one's intentionally wanting this to happen. Certainly people have to be motivated to become cyber secure, but the tools just aren't available for perfection yet. And so this type of going after people is a little over the top. I don't expect it to really work, and people will learn. You can.
I've just got this wonderful image of, you know, a war zone and something pulling up, a helicopter pulling up, and a bunch of lawyers leaping out the back. I'm sure there are many of our listeners who would want that. Would want them on several lawyers.
I know. It's sadly, it's true. I mean, they can barely reboot their own computer, but they're really good at enforcing rules. So just give them a rule, give them a law. Oh, they're so happy.
If people want to find out a little bit more about you or about the book that you brought out, which was, and refresh my mind, was it The Devil Inside the Beltway?
Oh, The Devil Inside the Beltway. And the Beltway, folks, is Washington, D.C. There's a highway that circles it, and it's called the Beltway. So it's The Devil Inside Washington, D.C. is what that means. But I'm at thedevilinsidethebeltway.com.
And do you do the social media thing? Do you dare do the social media thing?
Yeah, Twitter is Doherty MJ, but it's always hard to spell my name right, but it's D-A-U-G-H-E-R-T-Y. But you can get that at the website as well and Facebook. But and the book's an audiobook, hardcover, softcover, ebook, and at Amazon. And, it's Kindle and iTunes, and it's done quite well. It's a sad tale of how the U.S. actually does their regulations.
Just give me the website one more time, because people can get that.
The Devil Inside the Beltway.com.
It's been great to speak to you, Mike. The way that it's moving at the moment so quickly gives us all pause for thought on what's happening next. I'm sure we'll speak to you in a couple of months' time and see where we stand with it. Mike Doherty, thank you for your time today.
Cheers. Thank you, sir.